Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. I enjoy this time of the week because what we do is we bring you information that has been omitted from American history. I was an adult, had finished high school, college, working as a professional person, and did not know my history because it had never been presented to me. Does not mean that it was not there, but it was not included in our mainstream history. And so the story that we are primarily talking about today is one that occurred in my lifetime, one that I saw unfolding. But critical information was omitted. Now, it goes back well beyond what we're talking about here, because we are talking about the lady that designed the dress, Jackie Kennedy. And this was in 1960 or thereabouts. Everything that I had been told in history, written in history, heard about history, is that we were all in the South picking cotton. All in the South picking cotton. And beyond that, very, very little was ever heard of. And so I grew up, and I could not refute those people that were saying we didn't do anything because I was not exposed to the fact that we had. Even when I got little smidgens and slivers of things that were taking place, I didn't know where to go to look for them. So I'm kind of lost. I'm in a wasteland, so to speak, because how do I find these out? And what importance is it going to be to me? So I wasn't able to put it all together. Now, what I do want to do, and I want to encourage you to call in, because as we talk about several subjects today, I want you to understand that if you have questions, you can call in. If you have comments, you can call in. I know many of you are listening on your devices, maybe even your smartphones, your tablets, your computers, and that's great. But I do not see you on my dashboard. I cannot open that microphone to allow a conversation between you and me. So if you do have questions, comments, suggestions, call. And that number is 646-668-8217. Now, normally I wait until fairly late in the show to open those microphones, but I'm going to do it several times during the program. And I want you to be able to do that because, like I said, I grew up completely mystified as to what is taking place. While I'm at that, let me give you some dates, because I have been invited by the National Park Service to speak at the Cowpens National Battlefield in January, January 13th and 14th. And I will be talking about blacks in the American Revolutionary War. The American Revolutionary War. Now, we get things quite often confused because we're not given the information necessary to seek it out. At the time of the American Revolutionary War, there were 2.1 million people of African ancestry in America. 2.1 million. Most were enslaved. Of the free people, it was a little over 2%. But that means that leaves a significant number of people that were free in this country back in the 1700s. And when we don't present that information, it harms everybody, black, white, Asian, Native Americans, Hispanics, and everybody, because we don't get a chance to talk about what we have done. This is not something that's unique to black people, because we have not told a correct story about Native Americans, about Hispanic people, about Orientals in this country. Nobody. And that has skewed what we think and know, or think what we know. I made what we know incorrect. How can you put together a team of all of these people and not be knowledgeable or capable that of what they have done prior to? It's virtually impossible, folks. That's why we do this show. Many times people are reluctant to call in. It's not a chance of what we're trying to do is to embarrass anybody. But we want to advance the knowledge of what we have done. The primary star of our show today is Ann Lowe, L-O-W-E. We see a young lady born into a family of seamstresses. Her mother and her grandmother both did work for the upper crust in the South, the town that they came from. All of the people in the know, all of the people in the money came to them to have their sewing done. But we don't have a complete picture, because you would think that if that's the clientele that you have, that there would be no financial woes, nothing to worry about. But we see young Anne having to drop out of school at the age of 14, because even with three of the most skilled and in-demand workers in the town, they did not make enough money to keep themselves afloat. This is part of the picture that has taken place in time immemorial. Time immemorial, not paying people for their worth. Basically, we use their status, and that is of an enslaved or formerly enslaved person, to basically not give them any. These people were not often accessible to education. We sometimes want to make fun of their use of language or the use of language, and yet and still you will not educate them. You will not teach them to read, write, or do their numbers. All of this is designed so that you can take advantage of them. Am I saying that everybody did? No, but quite a few did. This is why sharecropping, although it sounds so much like a benevolent thing, was nothing more than slavery name. You go into a partnership with someone, and you're going to split everything down the middle. But the landowner starts off taking advantage of you immediately, because all of the supplies that you need are marked up from 30 to 60%. Right off the bat, even though this sounds good, even though there were contracts, if you don't know how to calculate anything, you can be taken advantage of. And believe me, you were. So we see a young lady who is extremely talented, and at the age of 16, her mother died. She took over the business. So she was very capable of doing that part of the business. Not always so good with the financial part. That's why her son was her business partner. And he helped with that part of the business until he was killed in an automobile accident in 1958. But we see very talented people along. Why don't we know about them? Well, there's more than one reason. Usually there is more than one reason for any and everything that we've run across. Because we don't want to tell the story of blacks. Most people who write either write for newspapers, magazines, or books. And they don't see money coming in from writing on this topic. So they cater to the white audience. What white audience at that time, with the limited information that they had, believes anything about the success of black people in this country? Even as they came here, one of the justifications of slavery, they didn't have the intellect, they didn't have the self-motivation, they didn't have anything necessary to operate on their own. That the most benevolent thing that could ever happen to them is that they were enslaved. Now, this goes against the history, the myth that they have been taught for years. Now, that number that I gave you earlier, you can use it because we're about 10 minutes into the program, 10, 15 minutes into the program. And in about 15 minutes, I will open the microphones for the first time. If there's something that I've spoken that you think is incorrect, bring it up. Because we can disagree without being disagreeable. This is part of the message that we're bringing. We don't always have to agree. Because even among the black community, there are people that will disagree with what is being said. Now, in some of the information that I've put out, now, when we post on Thursdays, and this week was bad because we didn't actually post until Friday. Big sin. But no, we try to maintain this Thursday schedule. So if you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, you should see the latest few posts. But if you click on blog list, B-L-O-G-L-I-S-T, you can see over 300 posts that have been done. Now, the first part of those posts is a written narrative, and it's good, gives you most of the information. But we have dedicated additional time to videos so that you can get a better feel, a better understanding of the topic. Most all of them have approximately 5 videos in them that have been selected just on the topic that we're speaking of that week. We also have books that will allow you to dig deeper. One of the things that has always happened is that we get one or two facts and we don't fix them in our minds. Every topic up there is not going to be your hot button. It's not going to set you into orbit or do anything like that. But there is enough variety there that you should be able to find something that interests you. If not, tell us. Maybe we can include it in the mix as to how the information is moved out. Now, this is not a program just for black people, because in so many cases, in this particular case, for example, where we're talking about Ann Lowe, we see a person very capable of turning out top-notch materials, much sought-after materials. But many people were not able to take advantage of that because, one, they did not know about Ann Lowe. Now we look at Ann Lowe, and what she did was amazing, absolutely amazing. Most people, even if they realize that she sewed, designed the dress of Jackie Kennedy, don't realize that 10 days before that wedding, the upstairs unit sprung a leak and damaged not only Jackie's dress, but the maid of honor, maids and matrons of honor. And she undertook with her own funds to replace it. Now, Jackie Kennedy's dress had 50 yards of extremely valuable yards. Instead of making $500 off of this particular contract, she lost thousands. But she did it because of her love of what she was doing. We see that. That should be a part of our history. It can motivate people of all races, colors, creeds, and whatever to do what is necessary. In later years, she was virtually broke because she didn't have her son, and she didn't replace him with anybody that could guide her along the way. As I was in elementary school, I had little interest in it. I would see the young ladies designing clothing. Yeah, it looked good, but that was not my strong suit. But they were there. How many people could have been encouraged to pursue their dreams in this area? Now, we have a person, Kitty Perkins Black, I believe her name is, or Kitty Black Perkins, from Spartanburg, South Carolina, who was a primary designer of Barbie's clothes. Yeah, that Barbie. Whether she knew about Ann Lowe or not, people that have been capable and have done. But what we're looking for now is to encourage our new generation of people coming along that they too can be spectacular in this area, spectacular in this field. And I'm not just, again, I'm just not talking about white people, because black people have looked up to many white people. But sometimes when you see that you can do it, you see yourself pictured and know that you can do it. One of the problems that I had with history is that all of the people showed, all of the pictures, excuse me, showed white people. They dressed funny. They lived in places that I never had any idea of ever going to. And therefore, I didn't have much interest in it. To be quite frank, I became interested in history of any kind. There were a couple of steps that had to be taken. One, as I'm working as a professional chemist, we had a leadership class that I was able to take. And one of those leaders was a graduate of West Point Military Academy. And as he talked about history, he told us why each side was fighting, what the physical terrain had to do with it, what so much, he brought it to life. Rather than a picture printed on a page, I could understand what was going on. And this is what we hope to do for you. Bring some life to it. Now, the best way to bring life to it is to bring questions to it. Now, we talk about Ann Lowe, remarkable story. We've looked at some of the backstory where she actually took a loss in order to do what she said she was going to do. Most people don't even believe that that is a truism about people of color, that that is any way true about black people, that they could do that. And so what we see is a picture that allows people, in many cases, to work together, whether it's directly as a partnership or whether it's in a supply-demand type business or whatever. So in many cases, it is short-circuiting or not allowing white people to make what they can. Now, we see later in the story that as Ann Lowe partnered with certain businesses, she was taking a loss. Now, they should have been able to come up with contracts that would allow both parties to benefit. understand that her business partner on the financial money side of it was her son, who was tragically killed in an accident. But if we were being fair, we would look at something that allowed both parties to survive. Both parties to survive. Now, we talk about Ann Lowe and seeing some of the clients she had and what she was able to do. We are amazed at what happens. But Ann Lowe is not the first person to make the president's dress. Not. Why? Because, again, the same reason. We don't want to emphasize the positive qualities of some people. And that goes even deeper than what it appears to be. Because if we talk about some of the good, then we have to compare that with some of the bad. And much of that is, quite frankly, embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Many white people carry around a burden that goes back to the fact of what I just talked about in terms of history. You're either a slave owner or you're an enslaved person. And that was definitely not true. There were many white people that owned slaves. Most of them could not afford them. What we had were those people that were landowners, and where did the land come from? It came from the Native Americans. When the Pilgrims landed, and other people landed as well, they had basically 100% of this country. We have chopped them down to the point where they own less than 1% of their native lands. Less than 1% of their native lands. We look at it and we say something is wrong here. Yeah, that can be embarrassing. We look at the way that we have treated slaves, and most people don't have an idea of how cruel slavery was. Yeah, we hear the stories that you get up at sunrise or before and don't get to go to bed until sunset. And we know that in the summer, that is a long period of time. But you have no freedom. You own no land, paid money so that you can even buy any land. Is that fair? Now, a few people owned land. A few, very few. Remember I said at the beginning of the program that there were 2.1 million people of African origin in America at the time of the Revolutionary War. A little over 2% were free. Some of them even owned slaves. The reason that they owned slaves was different in most cases from the reason that white people wanted to own slaves. White people wanted to get rich. Black people wanted to protect their relatives, their loved ones, because if you had papers on a person, you could claim them. If you didn't, they could be ensnared in the trap of slavery, and they could be sold off to far distant places. We don't realize that if you were a slave and you were freed, in most states, you had 1 year out of the state or you could be re-enslaved. So everybody you know, all of your loved ones are there. That is a big decision to make. But let's go back and talk about the other person that designed and made a dress for the First Lady. And her name is Elizabeth Keckley. Yes, we have a post on Elizabeth Keckley. If you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, it comes up. There is a little search bar in on that page, and you can put in Elizabeth Keckley or Elizabeth Keckley and find the post on her. You'll find that we have done amazing, amazing things. In the South, for example, we have Horace King. And Horace was a carpenter of great renown. In the Chattahoochee Valley, he built essentially every bridge down there because he was capable of doing it. We don't know anything about him, and for the same reason. But the law had to be changed to allow him to stay there after he got freedom, or else he could have been gobbled up by anybody who said, "That's my slave." Slavery was extremely disruptive. But about that time, Elizabeth Keckley was not only a seamstress, but a personal confidant to Mary Todd Lincoln. We've shown capabilities all throughout our history. Now, I'm going to open the mic in just a few minutes. If right now we don't have anybody on, and I'll turn it on if we don't have any people calling in at that time, we'll close it, continue to talk, and open it again a short time later. But that number is 646-668-8217. Now write that number down, put it in your phone, do whatever you have to, because as we come to you every Sunday, that would be the number that you would call in order to interact with us. And I want very much to interact with you, because there are other things that I want to talk about. We're in Veterans Day, and most people are not aware of other events that took place. Today, on television, I heard posts as I was waking up about the 6888, an all-black, all-female unit. It was a postal battalion, and they were sent to England and France. And what was taking place is so much mail was going overseas, much of it incorrectly addressed, because there would be a package going to Bubba, for example. Bubba. That's it. And many of the packages contained food. The food was spoiling. It was rotting. It was bringing in rats and other vermin. And so we had to do something about this problem. So they took this all-female unit, all black, and it was estimated that under the best of circumstances, it was going to take 6 months to resolve this problem. They came up with a solution, and they worked 8-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. They got this problem taken care of in 3 months. Charity Adams was in charge of it. Most of us don't realize this. It's there. You may hear about these things, and you may catch just the tail end of it. And you can't digest it because you don't have enough information. How many of you are aware of the 6888? This would be something that you can call in. Who's ever heard of the 320th Balloon Battalion? They performed great service. And what was happening? The enemy was flying low, coming in and shooting troops on the ground, killing mass casualties, resulting in mass casualties. What did we do? We found that we could send balloons aloft with steel cables. So when they would come through making sitting ducks of us and just blow troops away, that we could actually crash their planes by having these almost invisible metal wires to the balloons. We performed remarkably well. When you look at Waverly Woodard, Waverly was a medic. He was wounded on the way to shore and actually should have sought medical treatment. Severe wounds, but he worked for 36 straight hours, including amputating one man's foot. We don't hear about him. Why? Because America would not give him the Medal of Honor. Why? Because the records in care of the United States government burned. But there were stories in newspapers here about what he had done. It could have been reconstructed. There was no question of the validity of these statements. But again, if we start talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of race, we have crossed an invisible line on taboo, so to speak. We don't talk about race. We're afraid to talk about race because there's good, there's bad, and there's ugly. Good, bad, and ugly. And I'm not going to blame everything on white people because there were not all of the white people in America believed in slavery. Even in the South, they did not all do that. But what we have done is we have written it to the point where we eliminate these people, these stories, and the turmoil that was taking place. When we look at slavery, the value of the slaves in the South was greater than all the railroads and factories in the North. When we finally made it to the Civil War, New York was seriously considering joining the Confederacy because so much of their profit and viability came from products produced by the slaves that were being sent there to be shipped around the world. Britain benefited mightily from the goods that were being shipped over. It is time that we start looking at the problems, the history that happened during slavery. Now, I don't see anybody that's called in. I wish that you would, because I like the interchange that we can have. You don't have to be black to call in. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be anything. Just be a person of some curiosity. Now, I would hope that you would not call in with a bunch of profanity and other hate messages, because I encourage us to have our children also listen to the podcast. Because we look, for example, at those people that could benefit from knowing the story of Ann Lowe, not just black people, white people, men, women, everybody, that it is possible. We see what works, we see what doesn't work, and we all benefit from that. Now, Ann Lowe was a snob. She says that of herself. She didn't just design clothes for people just walking around town. She designed for the elite. She knew that. That was one of her snobbish ways. But we have people that can do it for everybody. When we talked about Kitty Perkins Black, that is a person that designed clothes for Barbie, and Barbie is worldwide. How many of you would have enjoyed knowing that you could have a career designing for Barbie, designing for people, that you could have come out with your own clothing line? Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. If you are a positive person, all you want to know is that it is possible. You can look at the stories. You can see where she zigged when she should have zagged and vice versa. This is the purpose of doing this. What harm have you done yourself if you, as a, let's say, white person in this instance, told your children about this lady? And they can say, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. This is the point of the whole series. This is the point we are speaking. We want you to know that you can. There are young people, men and women, who are designers, architects, and I can talk to you about some of them, women architects that have designed famous buildings that you know about, but you just don't know who has designed them, that your daughter may come up and be the next great. Your son may find the story motivating, interesting, and propel them to a career. It doesn't have to be a follow-up one-on-one. When we work together, today is Sunday and many people are watching football. Many people would rather watch football than to learn about their history and how they can be great. That's a choice that you make. Now, many of the programs that we have done are archived, and I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Listen to them again and again if you have to. But if you don't have to, call in. Ask the question. Why? How was it possible that this lady, as great as she could be, was not mentioned in history? Now, we don't always tell in our history books who designed every dress for every woman, but somewhere in the magazines and books and fashions, right now we're going back through a renaissance of sorts, and people are writing books about Ann Lowe. They are telling the story of Ann Lowe. We're seeing it in the media. We're seeing it everywhere. Has it harmed anybody? No, it has not. But it has encouraged many people. This is what we do. The reason that we talk about black people is because they are often devoid in history. We don't see them. And we get the wrong impression. We think that everybody is on welfare or whatever because we have never heard of people doing anything. We had a post a couple of weeks ago by Solomon about Solomon Carter Fuller. Solomon Carter Fuller, Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. And who was he? He was the first black doctor trained in America. How can that be? Because in the early days, blacks were not permitted to go to medical school. Is it because they couldn't pass the work? No. It's because somebody said, that ain't where you're supposed to be. Let's take the story of Alexa Kennedy, Dr. Alexa Kennedy. She wanted to be a doctor. They said, no, women, and especially black women, cannot succeed in medicine. She refused to take that answer. She flat refused. And she did find somebody that would allow her to go to medical school. When she decided to specialize in neurosurgery, nope, again, cannot do that. Now, I want you to take black women out of that and put in anything else that you'll think of, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, Polish, whatever, and you'll see how ridiculous that sounds. But she was discouraged from going into that. Now, when you think that was bad, when she decided to go into pediatric neurosurgery, working on the brains and nervous system of very young people. Oh, man, you would think the world had started spinning backwards. No. It opened the door for many people to follow in her footsteps. Not just women, men as well. A lot of people see the challenge, accept the challenge, move forward with it. Now, again, I haven't had anybody And I know that we have many people that listen online, and that's good. I love you. I bless you for doing that. But I need you to invite other people to the program and be aware that you and them can ask questions, can make comments. I don't agree with you. I had a person that a couple of weeks ago. We wrote back and forth. I think we're friends now. That doesn't mean that he has to agree with me or I have to agree with him. That's not what friendship is. Friendship is being able to discuss something without being disagreeable, without being all over each other. Now, that number again is 646-668-8217. I want you to keep that number handy because next week when we come back, the week after that, you may have a question. You may have a comment. I cannot remember the individual's name now. But he was, within the last couple of years, awarded the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor. It will delay. Many black people find that recognition like that is not coming, or greatly delayed. But he had a tank battalion. They were under attack, and he had men that were trapped in the tank. The tank's on fire, and at great risk to himself. In fact, his uniform burned and melted to his body, but he insisted on going back into those tanks. You know why? His feeling was that he had made his peace with his God, but he wasn't sure if his men had. And it was worth that to him to go back and do everything that he could to give them that opportunity. Isn't that the type of person that you want representing you in the military? Aren't those traits that you value in your life? I would tend to hope so, although I'm sure that there are plenty that don't. But we see every day our wounded warriors, people that have gone into war and have sacrificed themselves for this country. Those are the people that I want to honor. Those are the people that I honor. Does it make any difference what color they are? No. Does it make any difference what gender they are? No. I get to a point where as I look at people, I don't want to look at the color of those people. I want to look at the heart, the mind, and the soul. The heart, the mind, and the soul. It's kind of like Martin Luther King said. He didn't want his children to be judged by the color of their skin, but rather the content of their character. This is what we're trying to do. Open those doors so that you will know. We've got well over 300 posts on AmazingBlackHistory.com. We are in the midst of trying to make that known. Here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, we have a soldier that was stationed here and fought so valiantly in World War I that he too was awarded the Medal of Honor, but it was not awarded until Barack Obama was president. We have another one from Sandy Springs, South Carolina, about 70 miles from here. He got his much earlier because it was given by George H.W. Bush. We finally get some recognition of what we have done. And when we do that, it makes this America a better place for all. A better place for all. That's what we're trying to do. And you're going to tell me at this point we have nobody with any questions, comments, suggestions, disagreements. It's not possible. But I find that many people even have heroes in their own family. Sometimes they don't know about them because they don't know where to start looking. They don't know what to look for. And while that is a different topic, occasionally there will be an advertisement for a book by Tony Burrows and Ancestry Kits that you can use to look back. Those of you that are old enough may be aware of Angela Davis. Angela Davis was a Black Power advocate back in the, I believe it was 60s and 70s. But did you know she can trace her ancestors to coming to America on the Mayflower? On the Mayflower, we sometimes say that one is exclusive of the other. Can't be. Can't be. We find that not only can it be, but oftentimes it is. We see it all around us. It's not something that should be invisible, because we benefit from everything. When I talked about Solomon Carter Fuller, he was selected by Dr. Alzheimer to continue his research. Yes, Dr. Alzheimer himself picked Solomon Carter Fuller to further his research. Now, the research was stopped. Why? Because people wouldn't support research, no matter how good it was, performed by a person with dark skin. Many of us have friends, family, relatives that suffer from this cruel, cruel disease. Just think how much further down the road we could have been. Let me tell you a little bit about Solomon Carter Fuller. He attended the same college that I did, which is Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. It's an HBCU. Now, he was one of the first people to be licensed as a doctor in America going to American schools. We have James McCoon Smith. But when he became a doctor, there was no school, medical school in America that would allow him to attend. So he went to Scotland, 3 degrees over there, with honors, high honors. And so he was able to come back and be the first in many categories. But Solomon Carter Fuller was a medical doctor. He was the first Black psychiatrist in America. He performed autopsies, and he delved very deeply into the work that Alzheimer himself was doing. That's right. Much of what we're learning now, he knew, and I believe he passed in 1914. Wouldn't it have been better to allow him to continue his research, have other people join in that research, rather than throwing it out merely because of a preconceived notion that he didn't know what he was doing? That's what we're up against. Elizabeth Keckley, like I said, designed the gown of Mary Todd Lincoln, and they were very, very close friends. They talked. Some people don't believe that Black and white people can talk. I'm not saying this so that everybody will run out and get a friend of a different race, but I am saying that I think we should be able to discuss things, whether they be on a friendship level or whether they be on a business level. That's what makes America great. When we look at the saying on the Statue of Liberty, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses," we leave off the line above, which says, "You keep your best." That ain't who we're looking for. We're looking for the rest that have a dream, that have ideals, that want to do more. Now, we did have another caller come in, but I want to make sure that people are aware. And we do encourage you to call 646-668-17. Now, as we look at Ann Lowe again, understand that most of her career, she designed and did fashions for the richest people around. She didn't design them for everyday use. And these are people that had the money to pay. There were times when she was able to move from one city to the other because she had some money to do it with. That's very important. Because we see that most people that worked for centuries in this country didn't have two nickels to rub together. They couldn't buy land. If you can't buy land, you can't raise your own food. Or if you do and you're under sharecropping, you're getting the short end of the stick time and time again. That's the way the system was designed. We need to change that, or else all we're doing is kicking the can down the road. We don't want to do that anymore. I have lived doing slavery basically all of my life. I lived in a world that I didn't quite understand, because my history book told me that all we were good for was sports and music. Sports and music. I knew better than that, because two houses from me was a doctor. He had a brother who was a doctor. I knew the doctor down the street who did a lot of volunteer work in this community. Next block over from me was a dentist. Up the street a couple of blocks was a pharmacist. So I see this, but I don't see any mention of any of this in our history. So what does that do? That makes you think I'm a bum, that I can't do anything. Not that I didn't have the opportunity to do it, because all we want is the opportunity. I want opportunities for my children. I want opportunities for my grandchildren. I don't want them to be given anything, but I don't want anything to be taken from them. I am proud of my children and grandchildren for what they are doing and what they're capable of doing. I think that's what any and everybody wants in this country. And yet, we don't see the right to give it to them. Area of our society that you want to talk about, you can probably find somebody that is very well capable of doing that. When we look at Dr. Charles Drew, we see people, even today, whose life he has saved and is saving because he developed a blood bank. And he was working with the American Red Cross. He left the American Red Cross because they insisted that we had to have two blood banks. Two. There has not been a need for that. We artificially create barriers between people when we don't explore what has taken place. And in so many cases, we don't know who is white and who is not. We see the case of Plessy v. Ferguson. And incidentally, the descendants of both of those parties have now come together and formed an organization called Plessy and Ferguson. Plessy and Ferguson. So what we look at is an opportunity, an opportunity for everybody to work on what they are capable of doing. And we take the best of the best, not on the basis of color, not on the basis of hair texture, eye color, some other foolish thing like that, but we look at who can perform, at who can perform. And unless I give everybody the opportunity to do that, I can't be sure that that's what I'm doing. So we look at Elizabeth Keckley. We look at Ann Lowe. And we see two people that can exceed and should be allowed to exceed. We have people in almost every category that you can think of that have been given opportunities. I didn't know about Ann Lowe. I ran across her, and I developed the program. Now, like I say, there is a summary. Then there are videos which give you a more personal, in-depth look at the person. For those people that want to go even further, their books. This is where we start to understand who and what we are. Who and what we are. Americans all. At one time, where you came from determined your nationality. If you were from France, you were French. Didn't say white French, black French, brown French, yellow French, or any of those things. And I think the sooner we get to that point, the better off we are. Medicine, toys, you name it. We produce the best. But I was listening the other morning again, and I'm waking up, about a young lad that was playing in his first football game. This is the championships. And he caught 4 touchdown passes. If we'd never given him the chance, that wouldn't have happened. A different school may have won. But you have to know what your teammates are capable of. And you have to give them the opportunity. We've seen it even on a professional level where the starting quarterback is hurt. Somebody fills in for them, and they become the next thing to slice bread, greatest thing ever invented. Why? Why did you ever have them on the bench? Because they didn't perform consistently like the one that was there. Does that mean that he can't ever? No. It just means that a set of circumstances presented itself, but now he has the opportunity, and look at him run with that ball. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what makes a country great. What I'm going to do at this point is I see my friend Marshall here. If he has comments, we'll go there. If not, we'll probably close this show. But Marshall is a gentleman that I respect greatly because he is a man of action. He gave a speech the other day at the library about blacks in the military. And we started with the American Revolutionary War. We didn't speak a lot about it because I will be at Cowpens January the 13th and 14th at the battlefield speaking about that. But he has been complimentary of what we've done. I hope that I compliment the work that he is doing because they have unearthed some cemeteries. They're working on restoring them. And it is all part of American history. It's not something separate. We have made it so. Marshall, you got any comments, my friend?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Abercrombie. It's nice hearing you again today, man, as usual.
Yes, sir.
You're one of our greatest assets that we have that I know of with black history. And we certainly enjoyed it last Tuesday night out at the library in Spartanburg. Enjoyed it. The session, enjoyed meeting your son and your daughter-in-law and your wife. Enjoyed it. And you did some excellent Black history that we all needed to have been there to hear some of the things that African Americans has done in the military. Some of the things that I heard never heard before. So we just thank you and continue on with the good works that you're doing, that the Lord has given you that gift to do. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. We support you in every way that we can. Just give us a ring whenever you need us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any updates on the cemetery that you were working on? I think you had found 5 additional graves and were working on them.
Yes, the man with the penetrating radar machine, he has stopped by and looked at it, and he's trying to get us a price that we can handle. And he's going to come back and help us with the graves, and he want to do the entire cemetery. But, man, that's going to take some time, I think. I don't know how it worked. I don't know how the machine worked, but that's going to take some time, and I'm afraid it's going to be some money. Somebody's going to have to get out there and help scrape up the that this man is going to do this for us. It's something that we need doing to find out who, where, and who our relatives is, and give them some honor and respect. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we think everybody's got to be related to somebody else, not us. But we find that we have great people in our families.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So I really do appreciate you. When you have some more information on when you're going to be there, and obviously if people want to contribute, they can do that as well. And so we can get you in touch with Marshall and that group out there. But we have done everything, but we have not been given the publicity. And so people think we've done nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And that needs to change. That's what we're working on.
Yes,
and I like to have people that have gotten their hands dirty getting it done. And that certainly is Marshall and Leon, among others. Any other comments, Marshall?
No, I just thank the goodness Leon, he and I both, he went to the hospital this morning, and I got to go Tuesday. He's having some complications, and so am I. My heart is don't want to function right, so it's nothing serious from nothing to say, but they want to find out what it is. So thank God for all of that. Everybody doing okay. Thank you, sir.
And our prayers are with both of you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes. Same here.
We will come to you again next week. Have that phone number handy. Have your questions, your comments, your suggestions handy, because we want to hear from you. The program that you're listening to is Did You Know? I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m., and we have an hour and a half, and so we have time to handle questions that you may have. To all that are listening on devices and have called in, be blessed, my friends, be blessed. Join us again next week. Invite somebody to join you. And let's make sure that everybody knows the history that's there. Thank you, and hope to see you again next week. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.